This is Rick Gentry, and I want to thank everybody for listening today to Preaching Sunday on BPNRadio.com. I'm excited to introduce to you today Pastor Richard Adarosa, and he's from Florida. We're excited about his message today. Here's Pastor Richard.
Hello, wonderful saints of God. This is Richard Adarosa. I'm the senior pastor of Church of the Harvest, located in Pahokee, Florida, next to the beautiful Lake Okeechobee. We're in South Florida, and this is the time of year that I'm sure a lot of our friends up north would love to come and share. And we're just very blessed. I just wanted to share a few minutes and just let you know a little bit about the ministry. We have a Christian school. We have a food pantry. We had church services on Sundays at 10 o'clock. And our focus is an outreach to the community. And we have evangelistic campaigns that we sponsor in our area. And we're so involved in the community. Even though our church is small, if everybody who called us pastors, my wife Barbara and I, we'd probably have a congregation of about 300 or 400 people or more. So anyway, it's a blessing to be able to come to you today on BPN Radio. And we're so thankful for the vision that God has given Dale Gentry and for the opportunities that he's given to preachers and teachers of the Word of God to come and share with you according to what the Word is. And so today, I actually had planned on teaching something else, but the Holy Spirit put this on my heart, and so I want to share this with you. And so let's go and pray and then be started with the message. Father, we thank you for a wonderful day. It's a day you've made. It's a glad day. It's not a sad day. It's a day that the Lord has made, and we are truly rejoicing, and we are truly glad in it. I'd like us to turn, if you would, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 54. And I just want to put you in remembrance of some of the scriptures here. I first heard about this taught, this particular subject, and these particular scriptures. I'm guessing back in maybe the early 90s, when Kenneth Copeland was on Sunday mornings, and we used to catch his ministry before we'd head off to church. So let's just thank the Lord, and we just give you glory, Father. So in Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 11, and I'm reading from the New King James, "O you afflicted one, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay your stones with colorful gems and lay your foundation with sapphires. I will make your pinnacles of rubies, your gates of crystal, and all your walls of precious stones. All your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children." So we see certainly that through the teaching of God's word and through the receiving of God's word, there's great peace to be had. And he says, "In righteousness you will be established, for you shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear." Fear attracts oppression, just like faith operates and receives from the grace of God. Honestly, for most of the time, you're either living in faith or you're living in fear. It's one of the two. You can't be in both places at the same time. You can't have both spiritual forces working at the same time. He says that in righteousness you shall be established. So, of course, as a born-again believer, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and God has established you in righteousness. It's a gift, and it's not something that you earned. And so if you're about trying to establish your own righteousness, thinking that if you can just do this or just do that, that God will be more pleased with you, then you're completely wrong, because God loves you the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word never changes. His character never changes. And his love never changes. It's always abounding in love towards you. He's not producing speed bumps in your life to teach you something. He's not putting sickness and disease on people to teach him something. That's a result of the curse. That's a result of the work of Satan and sin. But you're no longer under the law. You're healed in the name of Jesus. He says, "But you shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear." Are you thinking that way about yourself today? Do you realize that you are far from oppression and that you shall not fear? "And from terror, for it shall not come near you. Indeed, they shall surely assemble of me, but not because of me. Whoever assembles against you shall fall for your sake. God's telling us that he doesn't send us evil, that he's not the one behind all the nasty things that are going on in the world, because he's a good God. And so they're not from him. Verse number 16. Behold, I have created the blacksmith who blows the coals in the fire, who brings forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the spoiler to destroy. Notice, he didn't create him for the purpose of him destroying, but he created the one who does destroy. And it's certainly not God's will that the destroyer comes. Jesus said in John 10, he said, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so the life that Jesus came to bring us is the same life that the devil would like to steal from you. And one of the ways he does it is to get you in the mode of fear. Fear is confidence of something that you can't see, but it's not confidence in God. It's confidence in natural things. Do you ever think about the word supernatural? Supernatural means above the natural. And as believers, we should be operating in the supernatural with the things of God, above the natural. Why are we still trying to do everything in our own strength when the comfort of the Holy Spirit is in you? He's beside you as your paraclete, as your helper, and he's upon you when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You could say that as believers who are spirit-filled, that we are literally surrounded by the power of God, the presence of God, the anointing of God, the precious Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. The Holy Spirit was given to us as a down payment of the promise. I can't only imagine the promise if the precious Holy Spirit is my down payment. How much wonderful shall be the thing that I shall fully experience in my inheritance. He says, I've created the spoiler who destroys. Verse 17, no weapon formed against you will prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. For this is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. But he said he's created the blacksmith who blows the coals in the fire, who brings forth an instrument for his work. He says, I've created the spoiler to destroy. Listen, the devil can only counterfeit the good things of God. God does not create evil. When you think about the country that we live in, when you think about the world and the stage that has been set before us in this natural world, there's a tremendous amount of fear. In fact, I would say this, that the unborn again or the unregenerated spirit, the person of the world, has a carnal nature which is subject to fear. Fear is on the inside. But when you become born again, you no longer receive the spirit again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And we can see that scripture, which if we would go back to the book of Romans chapter 8. Now, last week we did a study on Romans chapter 8, and we talked about lifting up Jesus, and we talked about the carnal mind being in enmity with God. And so we have to understand that God, in the book of Romans chapter 8, is revealing to us through the Apostle Paul the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, we have the Holy Spirit who is another comforter that's come. He's our helper. And it says in Romans chapter 8 that the Spirit helps our infirmities, for we know not what to pray for as we should. But he makes intercession for us through groanings that can't be uttered. So you've got the Holy Spirit who's in you, beside you, and upon you, praying for you, helping you so that your prayers and the desires of your heart are prayed properly, prayed perfectly. And then you remember that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, forever making intercession for the saints. So you've got the Holy Ghost on the inside. You've got Jesus at the right hand of the Father. I mean, we're sort of in like a Holy Ghost sandwich because we've got the Holy Ghost and we've got Jesus. They're both working for us. They're both praying for us. Listen, Jesus was sent to the cross. of which he agreed, of course. And the Father's plan was for Jesus to go to the cross. Jesus did the absolute extreme and suffered the most anguish-filled deal, having become sin for us and being on that tree, taking stripes for our healing, becoming a curse for us, that we might be made the righteous of God in him. If the Father would go to such an extreme to be able to have Jesus do that work, if the Father could go to such an extreme and have such great love for Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, how much more does the Father have a desire to help us in life and with the challenges that we face? And so I wanted to get here into Romans chapter 8. I'm actually going to begin in verse 6. He says, Paul, for to be carnally minded or fleshly minded is death, talking about spiritual death, but that could also include physical death at some point. The carnal mind just speaks out what its senses tell it. And the carnal mind, you know, as the Bible says, life and death are in the power of the tongue, and they'll eat the fruit of it. Well, do you want to eat the fruit of life, or do you want to eat the fruit of death? Well, it's going to depend on what comes out of your mouth. And remember that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When something gets into abundance in your heart and you begin to speak it out, you set those things in motion to bring it to pass. He said in verse 7, for the carnal mind or fleshly mind is enmity or an enemy against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Why would the carnal or fleshly mind, the worldly mind, why would that be considered to be an enemy of God? Because everything that God stands for is life. To be spiritually minded brings life. To be spiritually minded brings deliverance. To be spiritually minded brings healing and prosperity. But the carnal mind is doing everything based out of fear, based out of circumstances, based on what its senses tell us, or we might call it sense knowledge, as opposed to knowledge of God's word. And that does not please God because it does not allow the faith of God's word to produce the blessing and the life that he has for you. Listen, God is against anything that's going to prevent you from experiencing his perfect will. You know, I think about the fact that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he could very easily decide to give each and every one of us tomorrow $1,000,000. But the problem is, we may not be doing the right thing with that money. What if he gave you $1,000,000 and you're not a tither? Well, the enemy's just going to come and devour it from you. But on the other hand, if you're faithful, the Bible says that God adds to us more and more, even to our children. So understand this, that God wants what's best for you. And that doesn't come through carnal mind. It comes from a mind that's blessed because it's a mind that thinks like God. It's been renewed with the word of God. Now, the reason we read the book of Isaiah chapter 55 is I wanted to point out to you that the natural mind looks at all the things going on in the world, all the negative things, and it says, well, that must be God because God does everything. No, God doesn't do everything. When we as believers yield to the Spirit of God, he will work in our lives to create his perfect will, to create his perfect, acceptable will. But if our mind remains carnal, we're going to miss out on what God has for us, and we will not have life and peace, but rather we're going to experience defeat. God does not want you to experience defeat. God wants you to experience life. It says here in verse 8, so then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Those that are in the flesh are leaning on a carnal mind. They're thinking, well, I better hold on to this because I can't give it to so-and-so, even though I think God might want me to, because what if I need it? Or the carnal mind says, look what they did to me. Well, I'm just going to do the same back to them. Look at what I do. But that's not the God kind of the mind that he wants us to have. He wants us to have the mind of Christ, the mind of the anointing, the mind of the anointed one, to think like Jesus, just like it says in the book of Philippians, who considered it not robbery to be equal to God. But he suffered and was obedient unto the point of death. And as a result of his following the plan of God, he was ever to bring first fruits to his Father, of not only himself being born again, but to generations and countless millions and maybe billions of people who've received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. When the seed is planted, the fruit has seed, and in that fruit is the seed of greatness. In that fruit always has more than the single seed that produced it. When Jesus was born and was buried and placed into the earth as a seed for our righteousness, he came out of the grave and prepared and produced fruit. That fruit is you and I, brothers and sisters. That fruit is our being born again. And so Jesus has done such a wonderful work. Amen. He says, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, I want you to jump down to verse 14 in Romans chapter 8. He says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Verse 15 is one I want us to focus on right now. He says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Now, if you read that verse, it could be a little confusing at first because he says that you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Understand this. There's a lot of things he's telling us in that verse. Number one, he's saying that fear is a bondage. Fear is a bondage. If you're living by fear, what do you need to do? You need to get your mind renewed to think about what God says about you. If we truly understood how much God loves us, we would not nearly spend as much time dealing with fear. Perfect love, the Bible says, of course we know, in the Epistle of John, perfect love casts out fear. It means it throws it out violently. There is no place for fear in the love of God. That's why whenever Jesus came somewhere, he always said peace, because he didn't want fear to come in. He'd say to a person that came to him, do not fear, only believe. Get out of fear and bondage and get into faith. This is what I'm saying to you today, saints. Get out of bondage and fear and get into faith. Get out of your fear and get into faith. Deal with it violently. Don't allow it. Don't put up with it. It's not of God, and it will steal from you. It'll steal, kill, and destroy if you allow it to. And it says here, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. What do you mean again to fear? Listen, before you were born again, before you were adopted into the family of God, you were bound by fear. Fear was your nature. And when you got born again, that nature changed. The Holy Spirit came in and made you a new creature in Christ. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. Fear no longer comes from the inside, but fear comes as oppression from the outside. That means you don't have to allow it. That means you can denounce it. That means you can speak the name of Jesus over it. And so you haven't received the spirit of fear again, but you've received the spirit of adoption. What do you mean the spirit of adoption? You are adopted into the family of God. The minute you accepted Jesus and made him the Lord of your life, the minute you renounced your sins and repented, you became born again and you are adopted into the family of God. Once separated by God from your sin, now reconciled to God through the precious blood of Jesus. The spirit of adoption, in whom we cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy, Father. You know, a lot of us, when I was growing up, I had a little bit of fear of my dad because I always knew about the tough side of him, that if I didn't do what I was told, he was going to come and give me a whipping or whatever. And of course, back in those days, when you messed up, it didn't take too many spankings or beltings to get to that place where you decided to do that. But you know, our Father God is not like necessarily a natural father, because he doesn't beat us up by sickness and disease. but he teaches us and he chastises us through the word of God. Everything that he does pertains to life and godliness. Everything that he's doing, everything that he wants to do, and everything that he will do in the future is easily identified in the word of God. If you don't know your Father, get in the word and read it. Jesus said, I know my Father, I hear his voice, I do his will, I do his works. What did Jesus do? He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Why? Because God was with him. Who? The Father. The Father wants to manifest his life in you and through you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the open door to heaven. Jesus is the open door to the Father. Through the precious work of Jesus, you and I have come to a new and living way. And so, we don't have fear anymore. Fear no longer comes from the inside. Fear oppresses you from the outside. If you're paralyzed with fear, the first thing you've got to do is recognize it's not in you, it's coming to you. And you have authority over what you allow into your mind and in your heart. Now, I'm going to say during this time of year, a lot of people, you can't even change the channels or look at a situation where you don't have some hocus pocus things going on and terrible movies. Listen, you don't have to go to a movie theater anymore to see something very poor and something very terrifying and grotesque and gruesome. You can see it right on your own TV. This world has brought that into your home. And a lot of times with children in the house, there's things on channels that are not restricted that are terrible. And that we see that happening all the time with our young people. And so it bombards them with fear. When you look at all the things that are going on in the world, when we had a cycle of time where there was great terrorism, even now in this country where there's great division and people are going and shooting people in synagogues and shooting people in nightclubs and going into schools and doing that. And we look at this like it's something that we can't believe, but we need to know, child of God, that this is the work of the enemy. It's the work of the enemy working in the lives of people that have carnal minds, whose minds have not been enmity with God. How are we going to change the situation? How are we going to take this country to where it needs to go? It is a work of God. It is a revival that begins with this church. A revival where believers begin to live and walk out what the word says. And when we do that as a corporate body, the world will take notice. Right now, it's a little bit difficult to tell who's in it and who's not in it. I want to just share something with you the Holy Spirit put on my heart. And if I can find it quickly, that would be even be better. It says this in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. Well, that's pretty clear, isn't it? If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. In other words, how can I walk in the love of the Father? His love for me has never changed. But if my focus is totally on the world and the things of this world, I'm not going to be manifesting the love that God has for me or for others. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and there's number one, got to have it. Oh, I saw that new car. Oh, I got to have that. You know, it's got more horsepower and more torque. The lust of the eyes. You just got to have what you see. The lust of the flesh, of course, is we're talking about things that we see. And I'm going to just be very bold and tell you right now, there's a lot of dancing shows on TV that you ought not be watching because people are scantily clad and it can cause the imagination to run away. And it's important to understand that we have to guard our heart with all diligence. Because of our heart comes the issues of life. Amen. Anyway, and the pride of life. What is that? Oh, I can make it on my own. I don't need God. I got a good job. Yeah, I'm kind of getting by, kind of doing my own thing. And you know, when I run into a lot of trouble, then I'll maybe spend some time seeking out God. But listen, those three things are result of being carnal. And they're all the result of having a mind that's not renewed. And as we're teaching this today, the Holy Spirit is wanting to remind us of the fact that fear is part of that. That fear is something that can be very carnal in our mind, because when we have thoughts where the thoughts of your mind are possessed with fear, that's not good. That's not of God. God wants us to have life, and he wants us to have peace. Now, if we look here in, it's going to be 2 Timothy. And before that was not 1 Timothy, it was 2 Timothy chapter 14. Sorry about that. And I want to go back just a little bit to 2 Timothy chapter 6, where Paul is telling Timothy. Now, Timothy is going through some tough times in the church of Ephesus. In the second epistle to Timothy, things have really decayed. Many people have left the church because of fear of what Nero and others are doing to people. I think that he was the guy back then that was causing all this trouble. And there was a great deal of persecution. And so there was fear that was there. And Paul is trying to get Timothy to stay in his post and to not give up and not to abandon what God's given him. And, you know, a lot of times, folks, you know, we always want to be doing something else, but the time to move into a different area of ministry or otherwise is when God says so. In the meantime, if God didn't say go, you stay. You stay in your post. And patience has been given to help us to stay in that place, to stay in that post that God's called us to be at. And so to Timothy, he says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Who's supposed to stir the gift up? Paul? Jesus? The Holy Spirit? His mother? His grandmother Eunice? No. He said, you stir up the gift of God. You know, why wait for circumstances and difficulties to come your way and then stir up the gift of God? Stir him up every morning. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Tell the Holy Spirit how much you love you and how much you appreciate the gifts and the anointing that he's given you in your life. Because he said, look, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. Stir yourself up. Remember, you didn't receive a spirit of fear, but you have power, love, and a sound mind or self-control. Listen, that's what we have in Christ. But the carnal mind cannot receive the things of God because it's an enemy of God. Don't let your mind be an enemy of God. Allow yourself to be involved in what God is doing. Spend time praying. Now, some folks may be listening to the radio program today. You've decided, well, I don't need to go to church anymore. I'm just going to listen to the radio. I'm just going to watch a TV preacher, whoever comes on, and that's good, and I'll feel good. My conscience will feel a little bit better. No, you have to be involved in a church, whether it's a radio church or whether it's a church in the local area. You need to be somewhere where you can get involved, have fellowship, and develop your gifting so that God can use you to the fullness. So I want to summarize today by telling you this. All the things in this nation, all the things in this world that are gathered together to produce fear in the hearts of men are coming together, but they're not of God. They're not from God. God, I've said this many times, Jesus is not seated at the right hand of the Father, wringing his hands and wiping the sweat off his brow. And neither should we as the church. That doesn't mean we won't have persecution, but it means that we're more than conquerors. You say to yourself, well, what if I get persecuted? And what if for standing up for the righteousness, I die for the Lord's name's sake? Well, praise God, you're in heaven. I couldn't get much better than that. Amen. Don't allow fear to cripple you. Don't allow fear to steal from you what God has already given you. Be like Timothy. Stir up the gift of God on the inside of you. Stir up the Holy Ghost and begin to step out and do what God's called you to do. Amen. Well, if you've enjoyed this radio broadcast today, I encourage you to contact BPN Radios or to contact me directly. You can reach me at Church of the Harvest, P.O. Box 181, Pahokee, Florida, 33476. That's Pastor Richard and Barbara Idarosa at P.O. Box 181, Church of the Harvest, Pahokee, Florida, 33476. Boy, we sure love to be able to share with you the Word of God. Have a great day in Jesus.